are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove. Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning into another episode of Dovetails. I am your host, Deborah, and if you have not heard our program before, you are in for a real treat today. I am the founder of DCL Ministries, which is a ministry that highlights random acts of kindness. Please be sure to check out our website at www.dclministries.com. We have many inspiring devotionals that are sure to get your day started just right. We also have our very own Writer's Corner, which zeroes in on ministries nationally and internationally, featuring their random acts of kindness, highlighting how and what they're doing, and what they're doing, how it affects the community in the corner of the world we live in. So this month on Writer's Corner, we have a couple out of Pennsylvania with a ministry whose focus is educating all walks of life in regards to Lyme's disease. So for the month of May, make sure that you tune in. We're actually going to have this couple on our show, and they're going to be talking about Lyme's disease for the month of May. This disease that seems to always be misdiagnosed statistically has 200,000 cases per year, which is amazing. But if they're being misdiagnosed, then truly there's probably more. Be sure to read about this couple as they conduct seminars and attend nationwide fairs teaching about spiritual health and wellness. So be sure to read about our featured ministry for the month of April, the Lymonade Stand, which is out of Pennsylvania. DCL Ministries is driven by kindness, and we believe it takes nothing away from us to be kind to someone in need. That's just really important to us. A lot of times you might just need a hug. A lot of times you just might need an encouraging word. So we really feel like that's something people can do immediately. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40, it reads this: "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So if you have ever been down on your luck, and at the precise moment you needed help and God sent you a gift in the road or a lifeline so that you could make it yet another day, then freely you did receive, and so freely you should give. And with that being said, the topic for today's show is going to be an open forum as we talk about discovering your motivational gifts. We're so excited about this. It's an amazing book that I read, and I just really feel like for people that are just out there and trying to realize who they are and where they belong in the body of Christ, this book was very encouraging to me and goes step by step with what's going on and manifesting these gifts in your life. So get ready to unpack with me the 7 motivational gifts as we discuss this wonderful book by Don and Katie Fortune titled Discover Your God-Given Gifts. So again, if you are ever thinking why do you think and act the way that you do, how gifts affect your relationships, how using your gifts will bring you joy, and what career or ministry suits you best, then definitely this show is for you. The book, again, I said, is just amazing. And of course, if you're looking for an understanding, a deep understanding, and really trying to find out who you are in the body of Christ, the book is truly, truly for you. So in the next 40 minutes, we are going to unpack Perceiver, which is one of the gifts, Server, Teacher, Exhorter, Giver, Administrator, and Compassion Person. So this is going to be a lot of fun because if you have family members that you're trying to figure out why are they doing that, or maybe you have a coworker or even a boss that you're thinking, okay, I'm really not getting them. They just seem to be stuck on this one side, or they're just stuck in this one thing. This is probably going to give you some information. But in case you did not know, everyone has a motivational gift. So rest assured that God put one or more of these gifts inside of you. So I highly recommend this book to anyone and everyone who has been looking to discover just a little bit more about themselves. So feel free to call into the show today by dialing 646-668-8485 by pressing 1, and you'll be live on the air. Again, that number is 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on the air. So before we get to that, I wanted to double back because we've been doing it each week since the premiere of the show on April 3rd. We've been talking about how we came up with the name Dovetails. We're so proud of this, and we really want to make sure that the listeners that are tuning in understand that this show is really for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we wanted to at least each week explain to you how we came up with the name Dovetails. So today we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark. Last week we read from the Gospel of Luke, and today we're reading Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So you can pull out your Bibles there. I'm sure you have them out from going to church this morning, and you are probably getting ready for my show, so I love that. Anyway, we're going to be reading again from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Every time I read that verse, it just makes me feel good inside. And we know in biblical history that Jesus went on to do amazing things in the 3 years that he was with his disciples. And as we continue to say every week that Jesus was very controversial in his time, he changed so many things and how people looked at things. We know that he healed the sick. We know that he gave sight to the blind. We know that he healed leprosy. But the greatest miracle I believe Christ ever did was change the heart of man, change how he thinks, how he treats his neighbor. Who is his neighbor? Who is he supposed to love? How many times is he supposed to forgive? So, you know, Jesus really challenged the way man thought at that time. And so as a disciple of Christ, I had to stop and think, wow, I wonder what I'm going to achieve when the Holy Spirit rests like a dove. What tales will I tell? And what testimonies can I give to empower, to encourage, to motivate anyone that is having adversity or oppression or just suffering from so much in their life? What is my dovetail? What is your dovetail? That's what I want to know. And so the show is again dedicated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to encourage you every week. We want to empower you every week. We want you to know that you are victorious. Why? Because Christ said that you are victorious, and you are to walk in the authority of what we know. We already also know in the Bible it says, without a vision, people perish. And so we believe here at Dovetails, and you already know the slogan, those of you that have been listening, we believe here at Dovetails, if you can see it, say it with me, people, then you can do it. We love that. So join us every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out at www.dclministries.com. We are going to be right back with Don and Katie Fortune as we discover our motivational gifts. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
And welcome, welcome, welcome back. You are listening to Dovetails, and I'm your host, Deborah. For today's show, we are discussing this wonderful book titled Discover Your God-Given Gift by Don and Katie Fortune, the revised and expanded edition. So anyone that's been listening to our show, and we're just so grateful that you are tuning in to us every week, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And today, like we said, we are going to be talking about our motivational gifts. So the list of the gifts is the focus of the book that we are discussing and the seven motivational gifts that we possess. These are the gifts that God has built into us and made a part of our DNA. So that's important to know, that you were born with these gifts. This is not something that, you know, you kind of learn along the way. And they're to be used for the benefit of others and also for God's glory. These are grace gifts that provide the motivating force for our lives. So they have been called motivational gifts. These are the gifts that shape our personalities. So this is what's so wonderful, and it's going to give you some tidbits. And it's going to give you some to enlighten you, basically, in how to find yourself in the body of Christ. The first thing I wanted to start off with telling is that there's three categories of gifts, and one of the gifts is what we're going to be discussing today. So when Don and Katie first, you know, got this book together, they really leaned on 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each of you has received a gift, employ it for one another as good trustees of God's many-sided grace. So when I mentioned prior to the break that everyone has a gift, that's the scripture that they're leaning on for that. So in case someone's listening and they're thinking, wait a minute, there's more categories of gifts. You are exactly right. The manifestation gifts, that is one category. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through verses 7 through 10. There's nine gifts that are for that category. We are not discussing that today. Those are gifts about faith and healing and working of miracles. So you are correct if you know that there's manifestation gifts. The second category are the ministry gifts, and that's where you'll see apostles and evangelists and teacher and pastor and prophet. You can find that scripture in chapter 4, verse 11. But the gifts we're going to be talking about today, as we've been telling you, are the motivational gifts, and that is the focus of this book, and these are the gifts that shape our personalities. So the scripture that Don and Katie lean on for this book would be Romans 12, and we're going to read scriptures 6 through 8. So again, that is Romans 12, and we are going to read verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. Prophecy, according to the proportion of his or her faith. The next is practical service. Let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives, aid and superintends, with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy, with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. So, you know, knowing that that is what's in the Bible, and this is what Don and Katie are drawing from. So this is where we come up with the seven motivational gifts: perceiver, server, teacher, exhorter, giver, administrator, compassion person. So the one thing that I wanted to make sure, today I'm really going to be reading some of these quotes verbatim from the book, because I don't want to paraphrase. I want to say it exactly as Don and Katie have written it in the book. This book is exciting. I honestly just want you to run out and get it today. That's just my heart's desire. But I want to wet your palate first. I want to get you excited about what's in the book. It's truly, truly, truly going to bless you like it blessed me. One of the things that they say in the book is all the gifts are equal. And this is so important. They are equal in the sight of God. They are equal in value in the body of Christ. No gift is higher than or better than another gift. They each contribute invaluable to the collective functioning of the body of Christ. If any one gift is not in operation, there is a lack or a void. Whatever motivational gift you have been given, is the best gift God could have given you for the working out of his purposes in your life and for the benefit of the other people whose lives you will touch. I love that. I mean, we really have to hone in on that because I truly believe that Holy Spirit orders our environment. And so whatever's been ordered for you, according to what it says in this book, that your gifts have been given according to that. So whomever you're supposed to meet in your life, whomever you're supposed to marry in your life, whoever you're supposed to cross paths with or rub elbows with in your life, that your gifts are given to you according to that. So rejoice in your giftedness, use your giftedness, and develop your giftedness. So this is really important, to develop your giftedness. Even though the Lord has put these gifts in your DNA, you know, I have to be honest, a lot of times it doesn't exactly go with our personalities. And sometimes we have to submit to those gifts and we have to decrease so that God can increase and so those gifts can increase as well. It says here, God has purposely limited and focused our giftedness so that we must work together and remain dependent on each other in order to grasp the whole truth. Thus it is with our motivational gifts. Each of us is somewhat blind to the other perspectives. We are wrong to say our way of seeing is the only true one. We are each partly right, but we are not totally right all by ourselves. We need each other's viewpoints in order to see the complete picture. I think that's a noteworthy point. A lot of times, you know, we kind of look at someone and say, oh, they're crazy, or, you know, what are they talking about? And according to this book and according to just how things are in life, we have to open our minds. We have to allow Holy Spirit to really direct our foots, to open our mind to understanding, to illuminate the scripture. A lot of times we might not like who is talking at the time, and they might be saying something beautiful and valid, but you just don't like them. So you ignore what they're saying. But like this is saying, each one of us play a role in the body. And if I'm the arm and the mouth is talking, then I should be listening because it plays a role with how I function. So this was very interesting. A perceiver will look at life through a perceiver's eyes. Everything will look either good or bad, right or wrong, in God's will or out of God's will. It is impossible for the perceiver to see life in another way. So again, the perceiver is the eyes of the body. So very interesting, because they are a prophet, because they are someone that's supposed to be hearing from God and seeing the things. Very interesting that when their outlook of life is it in God's will or is it out of God's will? So you can imagine talking to a person like that. You're talking about something else, and maybe you went shopping at the Gap. And they're like, is it in God's will? Is it out of God's will? And you're just like, are you kidding me? Anyway, the next up is a server. On the other hand, a server will approach reality with the question, what can I do to help in this situation? Which I think is awesome. There's a couple of servers in my family, which is so awesome. He or she constantly notices opportunities to do things for others. So another way to describe this motivational gift as a server is a doer, which is pretty cool. A teacher will search for the truth in everything he or she encounters, like the persistent, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Diogenes of Greek literature, searching with a lantern for an honest man. The teacher will investigate, seek, and research. Don and Katie wrestled with labeling this gift a researcher, but they ended up calling this particular gift a teacher. And they wrestled for the mere fact that teachers love to research. And you're going to find out a little bit about that later when we discuss in detail the characteristics of a teacher. An exhorter will see opportunities to encourage people at whatever they do. A giver will look for ways in which he or she can invest his time, talent, and money in providing for the needs of others. and an administrator with her broad or his broad vision will grasp the overall dimensions of a situation, and a compassion person will recognize hurts and wounds that need to be healed and see endless opportunities to express love. So you can see right there with me going through that list that each person's looking at it in a different way. It doesn't mean any one of them are wrong, and it doesn't mean that any one of them are solely right. But what's so interesting is each one thinks this: why don't others see things the way I see them? Because it's so clear to me. So that gives you at least a little bit of a tidbit on what we're going to be talking about today. And I'd like to start with the motivational gift of the perceiver. And the perceiver is absolutely very interesting. This perceiver is the eyes of the body. And it's just very interesting to look at life always from that point of view. And according to the book, the perceiver sees clearly from God, or should see clearly the will of God, I should say. The perceiver is also called a prophet and is known as the eye of the body. Perceivers or prophets are seen as the most gifted with spiritual sight. They see things that the rest of us often miss completely. One thing that I like to say about the perceivers, you know, a lot of times in just naturally we see, but we don't observe. So, you know, think of a perceiver as just really observing everything. There's a game that I used to play, and you have like a group of people in a room, and you tell a person to leave the room, and then when they come back, you blindfold them, and then you say, well, you know, could you tell us what you remember? You know, so think of it that way, that a seer could probably, or a perceiver, could tell you all the nooks and crannies of what they saw, and you have no blindfold on, and you're like, I didn't see that. So to quote from the book, the perceiver has the special responsibility of having a clear and sound eye with which to detect God's truth. Of all the members, this is the person who cannot afford pollution or sin in his or her life. If he or she does, his sight becomes clouded. The body counts on perceivers to accurately identify and proclaim the will of God. If the perceiver is not walking in purity of life, his or her vision is impaired, and what he or she states as truth may in fact be an error and lead many astray. Then how great becomes the darkness. That line is just so chilling to me. An example of that would be Jim Jones, is pretty much a sobering example, leading 1,000 people isolated in Guyana to drink poison Kool-Aid as they died. So that's right there, at least a snapshot of what a perceiver would be. Wonderful examples of perceivers in the Bible would be Jeremiah, John the prophet, Isaiah. These are major perceivers in God's word. And by reading those books, you will notice that these perceivers see the will of God and then are compelled to proclaim it, or depending upon the Lord's direction, they will pray for it to be accomplished. One thing that I always think about is timing, tone, tact. A lot of times a perceiver might get something. It doesn't necessarily mean they should say it to the person. Sometimes God just reveals something to them to pray about it for the person. So I wanted to at least throw that in there. If you are indeed a perceiver, here are just a few characteristics. You quickly and accurately identify good and evil, and you hate evil. That word hate is so strong to me, but I'm going to say you strongly dislike evil. You easily perceive the character of individuals and groups. You only have a few or no close friends. Wow, that's a tough one. But you can imagine, for instance, when Abraham, when God wanted to create the covenant with him, and he said, you know, I'm going to take you away from under your father's house, your country, and your people. And keep that in mind, when God wants to do something with you and God wants to speak with you, he can't have distractions and other people's thoughts going into your head. So that might be why a perceiver has a few or no close friends. And they also believe accepting difficulties can produce positive personal growth. So that is right there, a snapshot of what a perceiver is. And if that is you, I just want to encourage you to get this book. It's so awesome. I only just hit the surface of this beautiful gift. And if that sounds like you, you definitely want to get this book. The next up is Server. And a server is one who loves to serve others. Another word that is appropriate to describe this gift, as I said earlier, is doer. The server receives joy in helping, assisting, carrying out instructions, and being of use in a wide variety of ways. Of all the gifted, we notice that servers are literally the most capable with their hands. They have great dexterity, and they seem to be able to fix or build just about anything. And with that being said, I just know that that gift is not me. I had to laugh when I was going through this book because I thought, oh, my goodness, it seems like it's me, but no. A great example of a server in the Bible is Martha, Martha, Martha. And what's so wonderful about this book is if you were to go to your Bible and read about Martha, you see when Christ came to her home, she most certainly has the heart of a server. But this book also goes into the problems that you can run into with these particular gifts. So definitely the book has so much more than what I am telling you today. The characteristics of a server, if this is you, they easily recognize practical needs and are quick to meet them. They enjoy manual projects. That, again, is not me. Jobs and functions. They keep everything in meticulous order. And they have a hard time saying no to requests for help. That definitely isn't me. Anyway, and enjoy showing hospitality. This truly is a beautiful gift, and it really is a wonderful gift. There are a couple servers in my family, and I'm telling you, when I need refuge, when I need a place to lay my head, when I go over my family member home that is a server, I feel like I'm in a hotel. I mean, that's how, you know, as it said, with one of the characteristics that they have things in meticulous order, and you know, they really are, you know, thinking of the meal they want to prepare for you, and as you come over their home, they're thinking of the hot chocolate or the drink that they want to prepare for you, the meal. I mean, they've even gone to the point of saying, well, you know what, Deborah, what kind of brownies do you like? Or what kind of desserts? Because I just want to cater to what, you know, you like. And servers have just beautiful gifts. And it's no surprise to me that Jesus went to Martha's house because she had that gift. So with that being said, those are the first two gifts that we dived into just now, perceiver and server. Like I said, this book is just a wonderful way to learn about your motivational gifts with questions that each individual would answer as you read the gift. So that's another thing that's awesome about the book, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And we're going to take a very short break. We're going to be right back with Don and Katie Fortune's wonderful book titled Discover Your God-Given Gifts. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of PDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional, or if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to Dovetails. I am your host, Deborah, and today's topic is about our motivational gifts. So I ask, do you know what your gifts are in the body of Christ? Well, if you are seeking answers, I have a book for you, Discover Your God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. And I want to give out the ISBN number. This is like the social security number for books. I definitely think this book will bless you. It will help you on your way in discovering who you are in the body of Christ. Again, that title is Discover Your God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. And that number, that ISBN number, is 97-0-8007-9467-5. You'll be blessed by that. Again, if you are just tuning in, there are seven motivational gifts: perceiver, server, teacher, exhorter, giver, administrator, and compassion person. Prior to the break, we talked about the perceiver, which is the eye of the body, and we also talked about the server, which is the hand of the body. If you would like to share your thoughts, give us a call. If you have questions, give us a call at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on the air. We are excited today to be talking about this book, and we truly do believe it is going to bless you. So the next on the list is teacher. This is another amazing gift. And like I said, they're all amazing. There's none greater or less than one another. We all need one another in order to work and bring just glory to God. Teachers are exceptionally gifted with intelligence. At first, this may not seem fair. Favor's not fair. It might not seem fair to the rest of us, but remember that being the mind, and that's what this gift is, the mind of the body, they need to be gifted. They are always asking questions. They want to know the basis for everything, and they will search until the facts convince them that something is true. They are also called researchers, which we had mentioned earlier, because many are drawn into fields of research. So if that sounds like you, then you might be a teacher. Some teachers in the New Testament are as follows: Aquila and Priscilla, Timothy, Thomas, and Luke. If you are a teacher, some of your characteristics will be: you present truth in a logical, systematic way. You validate the truth by checking out the facts. You enjoy word studies. Wow, that's huge. You enjoy word studies. I have to read something from the book, which is so awesome, because I love word studies. It says, teachers are fascinated with words. They like to investigate the root meanings and the Greek or Hebrew counterparts. They see words as the building blocks of communication, and they want to use words well and correctly. I love that. For a teacher, the Bible is the ultimate authority for teachers. Even if they do not understand a particular verse, they believe that it is their own lack of knowledge, not the scripture passage, that is the problem. It is a source of new understanding yet to be discovered. I love that. One thing that I so believe is that we should never approach the Bible like we're Sherlock Holmes, looking for fault. We stand under the Word of God when we approach the Bible, understanding that it's going to teach us, and it's not the other way around, that we are trying to find loopholes and ways to discredit the Bible so that we can lend weight to our own mental idolatry, and that's what we don't want to do. And so when you're talking with a teacher and you're listening to them and they're breaking down a word in a sentence, or maybe they're looking at you and saying, why did you use that word? You know, they're really hung up on the word. Chances are they are a teacher. And you might, you know, if you don't understand that gift and you're looking and you're thinking something's wrong with them, we don't want to think that. Something's not wrong with them. They just, they love words and they really want to find out the meanings of things and they want to find out the truth. It doesn't mean other gifts don't want to find out that. It's just a particular pet peeve with a teacher. You also, as a teacher, might get upset when scripture is used out of context. Anyone that has been to a Bible study or anyone that has been taught under the word of God realizes that when we quote scripture, that it is within the context of a paragraph, it is in the context of a discourse, it is in the context of an interlude, it is in the context of a pivot. So when we're reading the Bible, we don't want to just grab out scriptures as it lends weight to what we are trying to say. A lot of times that's called topical preaching, and we are hoping to really go with expository preaching. Anyway, as a teacher, you're also concerned that the truth be established in every situation. So that is, again, the strength of a teacher. Teachers are the mind of the body, and if this sounds like you, I need to encourage you to pick up this book again to find out more about yourself. Aside from this book spelling out in detail all the seven gifts, it also includes what the problem areas are of each gift. For example, a teacher, though gifted in intelligence, one of the possible problem areas for this gift is the person might be slow to accept viewpoints of others, or they might tend to be legalistic and dogmatic. So again, that's what I love about this book. It doesn't just give you the perks and the wonderful things about the gifts, but it also tells you where your problems could be when you have this gift. In my opinion, when you allow the triune God to direct your ways, you will be able to see how best to use your gift for the kingdom of God rather than for selfish gain. So, you know, if you are a teacher and you're having difficulty because you just feel like your way is the highway, if the Holy Spirit is truly leading you, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you that, wait a second here, you're going to have to pull back a little bit, and we're going to have to talk about this, and we're going to have to pray about this so that the fullness and the beauty of your gift can surface. Without God in our lives, we can see how each gift could be abused or misused when God is not in the center. So we really want to be mindful of that, making sure that God is in the center of your gift. I think that that's a must. Following teacher, we're on to the next gift. We're moving along, people. Move with me. Following teacher, we have the mouth of the body, better known as the exhorter. I love this. To state this simply, exhorters have a lot to say. If you ever encounter a person that you're like, OMG, I can't believe it, they talk more than I do, this is probably their gift. And they are known for having the best, I hate the way this is put in the book, oiled jaws, just the visual, the oiled jaws of the gift. If this is you, like it is me, like you could probably tell maybe a little bit, don't feel bad, for we love to console and encourage with many that possess great facility of speech. If the teacher aims for your head, then as a exhorter, we aim for your heart, which I love that, because all of his or her efforts are geared towards edifying and encouraging other people. I love to encourage other people. I just love it. I don't like that feeling that Satan thinks he has victory over someone. So I will encourage to the cows come home, I guess, as they say. If you have this gift, then some of your characteristics will be that you love to encourage others to live up to their full potential. Love that. You also prefer the kind of information that has practical application. You also love to prescribe precise steps of action to aid personal growth, as well as encouraging others to develop in their personal ministries. One thing you love to do is personal counseling, and you will continue to counsel if no effort to change is seen. Real quick, I was in the library yesterday and was just picking up a movie, and I met this lady. We just bumped into one another. Long story short, through us talking, and she let me know that she tried to commit suicide a couple weeks ago. And I just was so grateful for this divine encounter, because I just knew that the Lord wanted me to pray with her. And to my exhortation gift just kicked right in. I felt like, oh no, you know, Satan's not having this. He's not going to get her. And I just really felt that I needed to step in there and talk about the gospel and reveal the truth to her, the good news. And it was so wonderful, because she said she felt hope afterwards, that she hadn't felt hope in a long time. And I give the glory to the Lord. So anyway, the great examples of an exhorter in the Bible is Barnabas, which you can find him in the book of Acts. It's kind of funny. At church, some people would call me Barnabette, and before I actually started to discover the Word of God, I didn't really quite understand, like, Barnabette, why are they calling me that? So it makes sense a little bit better now. But some problems of this gift is that we could be outspokenly opinionated, tend to interrupt others in eagerness to give opinions or advice, or cut and dried in prescribing steps of action. As I mentioned earlier, each gift has a problem area, but this book outlines beautifully what they might be along with all the beautiful attributes of the gift. So we are going to take a very short break after going through those two gifts. We're so glad that you're tuning in to us. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at jorymicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, to answer the call to ministry.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
And we are back, and you are tuning in to Dovetails. I am your host, Deborah, and today's show is an open forum. Feel free to give us a call at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on the air if you'd like to weigh in on our discussion. Today we are, again, discovering our God-given gifts. A wonderful, beautiful book by Don and Katie Fortune. If you are wondering why you think the way that you do, if you are wondering how you're going to use your gifts to bring joy to your life, how these gifts affect your relationships, and what career or ministry suits you best, I'm telling you, you have to run out. Run out. Don't walk. Run to get the book because it blessed me so much. And this book not only has all the questions, you can actually test yourself with this book, which is so beautiful. Every time that there's a question, you can rate yourself. It's a beautiful book. So we're moving along, and the next gift is the giver, which is the arms of the body. Givers have great strength spiritually, extending the reach of every Christian endeavor. Givers are a strong support to those who are in spiritual battle or on the front lines sharing the gospel. But of all the seven motivational gifts, this is the one least likely to be identified by the one who has it. Part of the reason may be that the giver's left hand does not know when his right hand gives alms. And you can refer to that scripture at Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. The giver shares several traits of the server, can be a leader or a follower, and has a love for the word of God like the perceiver and teacher. So you can see how the giver sort of embodies a little bit of all the other gifts. So take note of that. If you have the giver gift, you know, you might have a little bit within you of all the gifts. When it comes to the use of resources, the giver is unique. It's really great. As you score this gift, be sure to distinguish between learned behavior and innate tendencies. For instance, you may have been raised and trained by your parents and your church to be generous and to tithe. But has that always been you? Joyful inward motivation. So keep that in mind, that the giver gift, you know, when you're going through this book and you get to the giver gift, you know, again, like it's saying, we are raised to say, well, you know, give, share. Those are things that you are taught. But is that naturally you? And that's what this passage is saying within the book. Make sure that that's really you when you are reading about this particular gift. Again, this disclaimer in the book is prompting you to be honest, especially scoring yourself on this gift, as to whether giving is innate versus learned behavior. If you have this gift, then some of your characteristics will be that you love to give without others knowing it. And you will know if that is you. I mean, a lot of times people will give and they want to announce that they gave it. So right there, keep that in mind, you know. You're just a person that, you know what, you're just happy that the need was provided. You don't need a whole show and then for them to give you a badge of honor as you walk up on the stage because you gave something. So keep that in mind. A giver does it and doesn't really want people to know about it. You give freely your money, possessions, time, energy, and love. Right there, that counts a lot of people out. You also give only by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Love that. You will also seek confirmation on the amount to give. And you also believe that God is the source of your supply. A wonderful example of a giver in the Bible is none other than the father of faith, Abraham. He can be found in the book of Genesis, where I'm sure all of you know where to head for him, where you can read about his giver heart. Again, this book is really wonderful. It really explains so much in regards to each gift. And I really adored it. And I really just stand behind it as something that will bless you if you decide to purchase it. Next up, we have Administrator, which is the shoulders of the body. And I'm sure you've heard people often say that they are shouldering the responsibility. Well, that is an administrator, for they carry the load of leadership. Wise administrators show how to yoke with Jesus, so he bears the burden with them. And right there, you know, I just want to bring attention to that. That an administrator, and if you're someone, you clearly have a gift, you understand that Jesus is shouldering that with you. And that right there, I think, speaks to a mature Christian that understands that we never carry anything alone. Christ is always with us. Holy Spirit is always giving us the power to actually do it. So keep that in mind. Administrators are born leaders. He or she will emerge into leadership just as surely as Joseph did, which you'll see that he is our example of a great administrator. If you have this gift, some of your characteristics will be that you are highly motivated to organize what you are responsible for and handle authority well. Here we are with authority and submission. This particular gift understands that. You will not assume leadership unless it's delegated by those in authority, but you will assume leadership where no specific leadership exists. I think that's very interesting and very noteworthy that this particular gift will stand back. They don't want to usurp someone else's authority. If the person in charge says, hey, listen, Don, I want you to do this, that's when they step in. But if they see a lack of leadership, this particular gift will stand up and say, you know what, we need to get this done, and we'll assume the position. So I think that's really awesome characteristic of this particular gift. You are a visionary person with broad perspective. You can also easily facilitate resources and people to accomplish tasks or goals, and you are willing to let others get the credit in order to get the job done. Love that. Love that. Even though you are an administrative gift and you are someone that's in leadership, you have no problem with stepping back and saying, you know what, you can get the credit. I just want to get the job done. I love that. And these are things that we really need to look at within ourselves. Joseph in the Bible, as we said, is a great example of this motivational gift of administration. And even though as a young boy he was sold into slavery by the hands of his brothers, we see in Scripture, whether in Potiphar's house or jail, he was put into a role of leadership. You got to give that man props. I mean, the things that Joseph went through and the things that God was really trying to teach him, his leadership role just kept bleeding through. Every place he went to, he just rose right to the top. Joseph was a visionary man, zeal for his dreams, works well under authority. He enjoyed a challenge and had great facilitating abilities. And then other great leaders are Nehemiah, David, James, which is Jesus's brother, and Deborah, excuse me, who was found in the book of Judges.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Thank you so much, and we're back. I apologize for that abrupt into commercial. I had a tickle in my throat, and I had to rebuke it in the name of Jesus so that we could finish this episode, and I can give glory to the Lord. So I thank you for your patience and your grace, so I'm thankful for that. And right before we went to break, we were talking about administrator, and we were talking about Joseph being an amazing administrator. So make sure you take a look at that gift, if that sounds like that it's you, and keep that in mind. So the next gift that we have and the last gift that we have is the compassionate person. And this is a wonderful gift. It's just a beautiful gift. All of them, again, like I keep saying, is a beautiful gift. But the compassionate person is to show his or her compassion with cheerfulness, according to the vine, signifying that readiness of mind, that joyousness, which is prompt to do anything. The Amplified Bible states that our acts of mercy or compassion are to be done with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. If this is your motivational gift, then here are some characteristics. You have tremendous capacity to show love. You always look for good people. You are attracted to people who are hurting or in distress. You sense the spiritual and emotional condition of a group or individual. You are also motivated to help people have right relationships with one another, and you are more concerned for mental and emotional distress than physical distress, which is very interesting. And those with this gift of compassion are the easiest of all to spot in action. I love that. These are feeling people, and their deeds of caring and mercy give identifiable evidence. Therefore, Jesus is the perfect example, the classic portrait of a compassionate person. Jesus, with his great capacity to love, is drawn to the hurting, takes action to remove hurt, removes physical distress, takes thoughtful action, and has great empathy. Ruth, Joseph, Jesus' father, Rachel, Rebecca are example or other examples of this wonderful gift. In reality, Jesus has all the motivational gifts, and how wonderful it is to be able to look to him and study him and the scriptures to see and learn about how it is that we must be. I hope today that you enjoyed this episode of Dovetails. I really think that this book is absolutely amazing. I really think just by going through all these wonderful gifts and giving you a snapshot, sometimes you just need a snapshot of what's going on. Maybe the Bible is so large and there's so many things that are going on in the Bible that, you know, you're trying to understand the word. You're going to Bible study. You're going to church and you're sitting there and you're just thinking, I love the Lord. I just don't know how I fit. I don't know where I belong. I have these feelings. I have these urges. I feel compelled to use my hands. I'm always thinking about the word of God. I continue to keep dissecting the words. And or just you're compassionate. You feel the hurts and pains of your congregation, but you're just confused on, well, you know what, Lord, I want to serve you. I just don't know how to serve you. I really would love to for you to pick up this book. Again, it's called Discover Your God-Given Gifts. It's going to let you know why you think and why you act the way that how your gifts are going to affect your relationships. It's going to give you an understanding of why your boss is acting that way, maybe why your brothers and sisters are acting that way, your mom. It's just going to give you it's just going to give you a beautiful picture of each gift and how it relates to the body and how it relates to you. What's so awesome about that at the end of this book, they have a series of questions that they ask you. And then at the end of that, it gives you guidance on what careers actually would be best for you. So this is wonderful. This is a one-stop shop, this book. So just very grateful that we could share that with you today on Dovetails. Tune into our show next week. We have amazing guests coming up. And we're just very excited. I would like to thank you for tuning in. We were able to unpack the 7 Motivational Gifts, a wonderful book by Don and Katie Fortune. I pray and hope that you were blessed and enlightened as we went through in detail the characteristics of the perceiver, the teacher, the server, the giver, the administrator, the exhorter, and compassionate person. What a joy it is to find out who you are and what role we play in the body of Christ. I would like to thank PJC Media Network for helping bring to life Dovetails. Thank you so much, PJC Media Network, Vanessa Grosset. We adore you. It is so important in the world. We live to encourage and support others. We can't be stingy and hoard our gifts only for those we wish to bestow it on. The Lord said that all are welcome at his table. I can only pray by listening to Dovetails each week, you would feel hope as well as empowered to go beyond what you can't see, for God is not limited by what limits us. DCL Ministries wants you to have a vision, for we believe here at Dovetails, if you can see it, then you can do it. Until next time, be blessed.
Thanks for tuning in, and to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.